The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Stuart Beasley, James Millman and Darren Owen in the studio. A good day to look forward to with a good card at Kempton and another good card at Uttoxeter. It's Midlands Grand National Day there. We also have Fontwell, Newcastle and evening racing from Wolverhampton. So plenty to look forward to on Racing Radio on Saturday. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. Yeah, absolutely tip-top. And, well, we're looking forward to Kempton and Uttoxeter, but before that, we've got the Blue Ribbon to come this afternoon.
Yes, recording ahead of the Gold Cup, the final day of the festival. And, well, I'm sure it's going to be another good day at Prestbury Park. And while we're on the subject of Cheltenham, Pimmy, you were down there Tuesday, Wednesday. Did you have a good time?
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, I don't think I've seen a bigger crowd there on the Champion Hurdle Day. We were served up to a brilliant race. And we just saw what is all good about national racing, didn't we? It was absolutely fantastic. Top horses, top jockeys, couldn't beat it.
Yeah. What did you make of Jeske winning the Champion Hurdle? Could you see it before the race?
I couldn't possibly see him winning it, but I did think he was a player, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Again, there was possibly that was the best Champion Hurdle we've possibly seen for a long time. Lots of good horses coming into the race on the back of really good form. And he was a worthy winner. Now, whether the ground just played into his favour, helped him out a little bit, I'm not so sure. But it was a brilliant race, all told. I suppose, obviously, the Twist and Davis horse looked the unlucky horse in the race.
Yeah.
But other than that, I didn't think there were any hard luck stories. And on the day, the best horse won.
Yeah. OK, we saw a couple of interesting novice chasers from the Willie Mullins team, Vator and Forheen. Both very impressive. Vator setting a track record as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great start to the festival for Willie Mullins. And what a team he could have next year coming back.
Well, he came with 40 this year and all guns blazing. He hasn't finished yet, that's for sure. And again, to set a track record on sort of good to soft ground is a fairly impressive task, isn't it? And again, he's another bright horse for the future.
Yeah, and what did you make of some of the other big winners? And Cider Grugy winning the Champion Chase? I didn't think he'd... I've said on the podcast a number of times, I didn't think he'd win the race because I didn't think he liked Cheltenham. But to win the race, despite not liking the track, the ground probably a bit against him, it's just more impressive, isn't it?
It was an unbelievable performance. Again, the form before the race said there was only a horse one could win it, and that was Cider Grugy. Yeah. He got the beating of them all before the big day, and it's just whether you could say, well, actually, will he cope with the undulations of Cheltenham today? Will he cope with a bit better ground? But he did that, and did it in great fashion. I mean, I was stood down at the final fence for the Champion Hurdle, for the Champion 2 mile chase, and the buzz and the speed and the accuracy that those two horses jumped those final obstacles was just unbelievable. But yeah, you could call him the winner a long way home, couldn't you?
Yeah, he could. Yeah, he won very impressively in the end. We'll just talk on the other championship race as well. And while we're at it, the World Hurdle, a changing of the guard somewhat in the World Hurdle with the younger horses coming through. Big Bucks retired after the race. Annie Power ran a good race in second, but ultimately had to finish second best to More of That, who looks very impressive, doesn't he?
Oh, gosh. I mean, this horse's profile has just been unbelievable, hasn't it? He won last season at a big price. Then he won at Wetherby. He didn't win by far at Wetherby. But my son was working there that day, and McCoy came after riding and said, this is a very special horse. He then went on to win a competitive handicap at Haydock. Then he upped his game again. He had to up his game significantly yesterday if you're working on official handicap ratings, but the profile was there if you wanted to take the chance that he could up his game. I thought what Garrity said after the race, that when he hit the front he was innocent, I think that tells its own story. Mm. There's an awful lot more to come from this horse. The world's his oyster. And I think he was the best horse on the day. I think they're trying to make little excuses for Annie Power. She was a little bit jig-joggy at the start. Yeah. She was a little bit keen. She maybe just didn't settle the race, whatever. At the end of the day, she came there with every chance and she just wasn't good enough. I think the winner is an exceptional horse.
Yeah, he is. He looks very exciting, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, anything else stand out to you at Cheltenham? What else has stood out to you this week?
I have to say, I think the value was the Guinness. Was the champagne. That was all that was out. I was looking for, buddy. Yeah.
Fair enough. Plenty of time in the Guinness tent then.
Yeah, great fun. Great crack. I mean, again, that for me epitomises what Cheltenham's about. The band playing, everybody having a bit of crack, having a bit of fun. And whether they're winning or losing.
Yeah.
They're there to have a bit of fun.
Yeah, and you've just got the added bonus of the best national hunt horses running as well. So.
Oh, but the whole package is wonderful.
It is great. It's a shame that it's over again for another year.
Well, as far as some people's livers are concerned, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I suppose you know a few people that they'll be in trouble this week, won't you, at the end of the week.
But I know one or two little soldiers that work in play and places like that.
Yes.
And Racing Radio could be in serious trouble.
Fair enough. It's all fun and games. Anyway, at the end of the day, let's move on from that, Pimmy. We've got a good day to look forward to on Saturday. The Midlands Grand National is obviously the big race at Uttoxeter. A couple of volleyball races at Kempton Park as well, and we'll start in those two. The 255 is the first of them, and this is the Kempton Silver Plate, which is a Class 2 handicap hurdle. As I mentioned, plenty of prize money on offer, and a big field as well, Pimmy. 20 of them in the lineup. Who'd you like for this one?
Well, I think this is fantastic that, you know, you've had the cream of the crop racing over 4 days at Cheltenham, and then come Saturday, you've got Kempton and Uttoxeter for possibly not the most highest profile horses that we've got in training, but again, decent quality horses that are getting the opportunity to race for good prize money. Mm. And they've been rewarded by very competitive fields. So wide open races, wide open betting. I certainly was saying the three races that we're going to look at for tomorrow, you've got to take an each way slant on them because the value is definitely there to be had.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You're going to get something like 6-1 the field in some of the races. And yeah, if there's an each way angle in, why not take advantage of it, Pimmy? Is there an each triangle in the 255? What do you like?
Well, I'm going to take a chance with a Northern Challenger here in the shape of a Special Catch from the Keith Reevely yard, ridden by his son James. This horse has been in good form of late. I thought he ran a cracker when we last saw him up at Kelso in the Moor Battle Hurdle. I thought that was a good run, and I think he comes here with a big, big chance tomorrow afternoon. I think he's a 7-year-old who's still got a little bit more progression in him, and again, I think he's going to be a bit of value for money. Have we got early prices or not yet?
No. We're still concentrating on Cheltenham at the moment.
Yeah, so I would be surmising he's going to be, hopefully, 8-9/10-1.
Yeah, double figure price.
Definitely.
Well, hopefully, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he was last seen third in the Moor Battle Hurdle. Before that, he'd won a pretty decent race, a decent handicap hurdle at Haydock. And before that, he'd finished third at Haydock behind More of That, which is a pretty good form.
Well, it's not bad that now, is it? It's been quite good. Yeah, but he's just a nice sort of horse with a progressive profile for me. But, you know, 20 of them heading down to post, and there's one or two others in there that have got progressive profiles as well. You've got Legacy Gold from David Pipe. He's having a great week so far at Cheltenham. Tom Scudo, I must say, was riding the top of his form. Give Dynast a fantastic ride the other day. And, you know, Legacy Gold's progressive, carries the colours of Mr. Brookhouse, and he's looking for a four-timer. And you give him a big chance because, again, he seems to be going the right way. And also, Lord of Scotland's been knocking on the door. Hasn't quite opened for him. He would be a massive price, but he could run well too.
Okay, we are with Special Catch in the Silver Plate.
We are indeed, number two.
Okay, on to the next one at Kempton then. This is the 330 and this is the Silver Bowl, another handicap. This one's a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Again, good prize money offer, again a good field. 13 of them in the lineup for this one, Pimmy. Which ones have made the shortlist?
Well, I thought Nearest the Pin was interesting. He won well last time out for the Irish Challenger. Bar de Le Guin's been running really well. Tough, consistent sort for the Steve Collins yard. And the Cockney Macken was running well when he fell last time out. You've also got John Joe and AP represented by Lost Legend, who, again, not quite at the target of late, but has been running well in defeat. But I thought I've got to land here with the top of the range from the Nicky Henderson-Barry Garrity combination. He was beaten a fair way last time when we last saw him at Doncaster, but that form stands good when he was behind the Hollywell. He unseated prior to that, and then he was a winner on his debut this year. Again, he's 7, just could have a little bit more to offer.
Yeah, and anything behind Holywell looks pretty good now, doesn't it, after his Cheltenham first win?
Yeah, so. The form stands up good, doesn't it?
Yeah, okay, so top of the range there then. What are you most worried about in the race putting against you?
I think the Romford Pelly's interesting. Again, tough, consistent, but just hasn't quite got there, has he? He's more than likely going to start favourite, to be honest, with these competitive runs that he's had. But again, hasn't quite got there for me. And he might just be looking for a place again tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, top of the range then for Pimmy in the Silver Bowl. And on to the 350 at Uttoxeter. This is the Midlands Grand National Chase, a listed handicap over the extended 4 miles and one furlong. 18 of them in the lineup. So again, we've got an each way slant on the race, Pimmy. But I suppose Harry Topper's going to be somewhere near the top of the betting.
Well, he's got to be, hasn't he? I mean, basically, he's rated 161. You know, he'd be good enough to have taken his chance in the Gold Cup off that mark. But they've obviously come for this slightly easier option. There's still a good prize on offer, just short of 57,000 to the winner. So they won't shun that if he can land the spoils. Mm-hmm. He's not the most natural jumper in the world. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think, again, he has got the ability. He's had a great season so far this year. And it's not going to be an easy task giving weight away. But the thing is, because he's so highly rated, he's got a lot of the other horses out the handicap. So they're running wrong. Mm. So I think you've got to look to something that's just snuck in the handicap, not getting running out the handicap. And I think that only takes you down to about the first 8 or 9. After that, I think a lot of them will struggle. So I think if you want to be looking at something, look at something that's in the handicap because of the handicap mark. I'm going to take a chance with two northern challengers here that just get into the handicap off 10 stone. Suncloud, which has been running well early season, fell in the Ida last time out, but was going well enough at the time. And Phil the Power, who was a readied winner at Wetherby last time out. Handicapper took a bit of a dim view of that success, upping him £9. But to be perfectly honest, he warranted going up that £9. So they're two horses that I feel, again, 7 and 8 year olds, got a profile that could be just going the right way. But again, it's a very, very competitive race for the Midlands Grand National. And I think, again, it's wonderful that we're not actually finishing the week on a real downer. We're actually finishing the week saying, well, actually, there's plenty more to be had Saturday.
Yeah, it could have easily been after the Lord Mayor Show, couldn't it? But it good racing well in its own right. So.
No, brilliant. So that's absolutely nice. Brilliant.
And a couple against the field, then you're taking them both, Bimmy, Suncloud and Phil the Power.
Let's go for a Northern victory in the Midlands Grand Nationals. Okay. Suncloud, Phil the Power.
Good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary of all of your selections then, Pimmy, if you want to stick them together for us in a nice little summary.
Yeah, well, we're going to go to Kempton Park for their Silver Plate Handicap Hurdle, and we're going to go there with number 2, Special Catch, another northern trained horse in the shape trained by Kay Freely and ridden by his son James in the feature race, the Silver Bowl at Kempton, the handicap chase over 2.5 miles. I'm going to go for Top of the Range for Nicky Henderson and Barry Garrity. And in the Midlands Grand National, a post time of 10-4 at Uttoxeter tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to take two against the field, both trained in North, and that is in the shape of Suncloud for Malcolm Jefferson and Brian Hughes, Phil the Power, Sue Smith and Jonathan England.
Okay, good stuff, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Enjoy on Saturday. So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, James Millman and Darren Owen in the studio. Two good cards to look forward to over jumps, one from Kempton and one from Uttoxeter. There's also jumping from Fontwell and Newcastle, and evening racing on the all-weather surface at Wolverhampton as well. So plenty to look forward to. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.